Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, and they give back as well. And the Purdy family wants to wish all of you a happy and safe Thanksgiving. And they are so thankful to all their customers, and they prove it every day because the customer to them always comes first. And whatever insurance you want, they have it. And they'll get you the best price and the right coverage. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, it's 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Play fake. Here's the toss. Baldwin's going to throw back to Russell. He's got it. Touchdown, Seahawks. Are you kidding me? Baldwin takes the end around to the right, stops, throws back to Russell Wilson. His first receiving touchdown of his NFL career from 15 yards out. The Seahawks pull out all the stops. Oh my goodness, what a play. They lead 22-7.
And obviously the ankle for Russell Wilson is a lot better now because he reeled that one in. I think he had one of those against Wisconsin, when he was with Wisconsin a few years ago, if I remember. Great athlete. People forget Russell Wilson was the fourth overall choice, now the fourth round choice of the Colorado Rockies in baseball as a shortstop. That's why he left NC State. Because Tom O'Brien, the coach, wanted him to only be a quarterback and didn't want him playing baseball. And Wilson's like, I can play baseball. He actually played 1 year of minor league ball as a shortstop in the Rockies organization. That's where Tom O'Brien had a falling out with him, and he ended up transferring to Wisconsin. And he has a Super Bowl ring, and I don't know where Tom O'Brien is right now. All right. Congratulations, Lewisburg Soccer. They've done it. State championship. Skip Kratzer joins us in the studio, and you've also brought a special guest with you, haven't you?
Yeah, we sure have.
All right. Skip, first of all, congratulations. And Joey Bandia is with us as well, who scored the game winner. Congratulations, Joey.
Thank you very much.
All right. Let's start with this. Every team, Skip, takes on its own personality, even when you have a lot of returning people. What, in the end, was the personality of the team that you coached over the last few months?
Resilient. These guys have went through a lot of adversity this year, so a lot of injuries, fought back against a lot of close games, so definitely resilience would be the character.
Was there a point in the season that where you felt the light came on collectively for them?
Oh, that's a great question. I think we felt a lot of pressure this year, and so I would say it probably wasn't until Central Mountain when the boys started coming back and just starting to get healthy where we saw the potential, what this team could be.
You mentioned that you know, there's a lot of pressure on them. What did you try to impart to them about playing with a target on them? Okay. And then in the end, was there a particular leader on the team that opened the door to get that message to them?
Yeah, we always have a target on our back in District 4. We always seem to be the team everybody's gunning for. Coming back, we tried to instill with them is just, hey, that you're not state champions yet. That was last year's team. Really tried to just keep everybody humble and keep our feet on the ground. As far as leaders go, I mean, Joey's been a leader. Adam Cole's been a leader for our team, as well as Wilson Fisher, the three of them. And Sam Rosevere, who really stepped into place coming through the season and pulling everybody together and just keeping us all level.
Joey, congratulations. You scored the game winner. Take us through it.
Well, towards the end of the game, the wind really picked up. I definitely think that played a factor in how we could play. So I think we realized that we needed to keep the ball on the ground if we really wanted to score. So the ball got wide. Zach found me making a run in the middle. He played great ball into me. I was just able to barely touch it around a defender. I took it forward, dribbled, and then I cut inside to my right foot. And I shot, and the ball took a deflection. But nonetheless, it went in the back of my net, so I was really happy about that.
We all end up, I think, at some point having great moments in our life. Mine this was waking up this morning. But as for you, Joey, what did that moment mean to you that you had the game winner?
It definitely meant a lot to me. Just to be able to do it with my teammates. This senior class has been so good. I've been playing with these guys, these 10 other guys, 10 other seniors my whole life. We've grown up playing together, so to be able to represent Lewisburg with them for Lewisburg, it really meant a lot to me.
Joey, when did the love of soccer begin for you? When did you, get involved in it? When did you start really loving the game and become passionate about it?
It was as early as I can remember. I always used to play when I was younger. My dad was a fantastic coach to me, a mentor of the game to me. He really taught me a lot about it. He used to play as a kid, and I think he really instilled the passion that he had for the game into me. And I'm just very glad and privileged to play this beautiful game.
You mentioned the other seniors. Did it get to a point as your high school career progressed that you knew instinctively where somebody else was going to be and they knew where you were going to be because you had played together so long?
Definitely. We've grown such a great chemistry together, not only on the field working together, but off the field. We've become such great friends, all 11 of us. So I really think that helped us on the field to be able to play the way we could play.
What has the support of the people of Lewisburg meant to you in the back-to-back runs?
Oh, it's meant everything. They've been so supportive of us, all our fans, all our families, our friends, coming out to every game, braving the weather. So it's just meant a lot to them that we know they have our backs and where we can play our hearts out for them.
You guys are lucky that there's no matchup today. This is not a beauty, without question. Skip, what did the senior class mean to you as a coach over the last few years, watching them grow?
Well, I got the opportunity to not only coach these boys over the last few years, but I'm a teacher in the district as well, so I've watched these guys grow up. Joey was in my second grade classroom. back then, he was telling me he was going to be a professional soccer player, and I believed him. So just to watch them grow up from little boys who played the game and loved the game to young men who not only love the game and play the game at the highest level, but are such good young men and hold themselves to a higher standard off the field as well as on the field. It's just been tremendous to watch them grow.
Obviously, you and your staff do a great job of forming a team and getting them to play a style that wins for you. What are your thoughts? What kind of job have they done at the youth level in Lewisburg that you think has made a difference in the player you get now?
Well, it's made my job so much easier. These boys come through. They've got the skill. They've got the footwork. Now we just have to teach them our style, our mentality, get them to buy into our beliefs. And most of the youth coaches are already teaching them what we're trying to extend then when they get to us.
Well, when you look over at the last couple of years, you mentioned this year, hey, look, there was certainly a lot of pressure on them. Were there any moments along the way you felt kind of relieved, that pressure on them, those lighthearted moments that can make a difference and just lightening the load for everybody?
There are a lot of laughs along the way, that's for sure. Nobody gets a free ride on our team, so certainly there's always the opportunity to get a dig in at each other when something goes a little wrong. it's kind of nice. I mean, the pressure was there, but for most of the season, there really wasn't any pressure till we got to the playoffs and really started looking and realizing that any one of these games could be our last. I think that's when everybody started really actually feeling the pressure.
All right, Joey, here we go. Make or break on a couple of questions. In soccer, the world of soccer, who's your guy?
My favorite player, I'd have to say, is Neymar.
Neymar.
Yep.
All right. Who's your team?
Going along with that, I love to watch Barcelona. I love watching La Liga, just how they play. They've got the best players in the world. I just love watching those kind of games.
Anybody in EPL? This is to make Sean feel better.
I wouldn't say I necessarily follow a particular team. I do enjoy watching those games, though. It's definitely competitive in that league.
Incredible. Skip, I asked Joey this. What has the support in the town meant for the program?
It means a lot. We're proud of these boys. It makes my job easy when I can say, guys, look, you're not alone. Look at the support you have. We're proud of these boys. The community's proud of these boys. I'm thankful for the mass of Union County folk that headed down to Hershey to cheer us on. We felt them there. We knew they were behind us. I know there were a bunch of people at home watching the game. Really, really just thankful for all that support.
Skip, congratulations. Joey, congratulations. Thanks to both of you for making the time to go up to the top of the mountain and talk with us today. I appreciate it very, very much. Congrats. You earned something very, very special you'll never forget.
Thank you very much.
What a great year for them. We will come back with more in a moment. Our phone line's open at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. It's that week. Be safe out there and just enjoy every moment of it, you know? Cherish what you have. And from us to you, we cherish all of you as listeners of this show. We appreciate it so much and very grateful to each and every one of you. So,
well, we appreciate the hard work you put in this weekend. It was not your feet were not propped up this weekend. You put in the work with a couple of basketball games and the football game. And I was a little worried though at the start of our broadcast at 6:30. I remember you told me off air you're going to cut it close, and I was wondering how long Joe and Jack were going to hold down the fort while you're going to get there.
Oh well, I got there on time. I actually got there on time, and they give you a little map on the, and Jeff Nelson was with me. And so we pull in exactly where, to the media lot where they said we should. And they said, well, we closed it down on this end. So you close it down. And says, yeah, this is normally when you enter, but this is such a big game. I said, well, I'm here to announce the game. What? I said, can we just get in there? And they said, no, you're going to have to go all the way around. I said, all right. So I turned around, went all the way around to the other side of the stadium and entered the lot from the opposite side because they changed the traffic pattern for the game. So that's why I ended up being later than I thought. I actually got to the stadium on time, but I had to park the car. So, but look, I'm not out in weather like this digging a ditch. I'm announcing games. It's a privilege to announce Penn State games. Hey, just quick show of hands. How many of you would like to have my job? Go ahead, you can put your hand up.
Mine's up.
How many of you would like to have my job?
How about your broadcast partner, a.k.a. the weatherman? He was a little busy keeping track of the conditions all night, too.
Yeah, that was When it started snowing, I looked over and went, oh, I don't believe this. Right, and it was coming down hard. And there was nobody left in the stadium.
I couldn't get over that. They kept showing sky shots of the stadium. And it's like, oh, my goodness, it looked like a scrimmage.
I mean, there's nobody left. And so then I had to walk back to the car. And then the first hour and 15 minutes I drove back to Connecticut, because I went straight back. I got back to the Mohegan Sun about 3:30 in the morning. In the first hour and 15 minutes, it was snowing so hard because, I mean, the wind was awful. I mean, you see how bad the wind is today. The wind's terrible today, obviously. I mean, the wind chill here is 12. And it's just blowing straight at you. And when I finally got over the GW Bridge, it was still snowing. And then when I got into Westchester County, just about to Connecticut, it changed to heavy rain. And it poured the entire time all the way back. You're like, okay, well, just make it happen. Get back there. Try and get, I think I got about five hours of sleep, maybe five and a half yesterday. Because you're like, well, you can sleep as long as you want. The game wasn't until 3, except they made us all check out of the rooms at 11. Like, okay. I am not a big casino scene guy. It's just not my bag. But I mean, if that's where they play, that's where I go. So simple as that. I don't dig ditches. Everybody, oh, you did all of that. Please, I'm announcing games.
Is there any other game in the past? I mean, obviously this never happened at Beaver Stadium. We never expect a crowd to leave that early at home. All the games that you have covered over the years, away games, have you ever noticed a mass exodus that quick, that early in the second half?
The only other time was a game in 2005 at Illinois, where Penn State won the game. I want to say 70-7 or some number like that. I remember Nolan McCready ran an interception back for a touchdown. It's the most notable thing about that game. There was nobody left in that stadium in the fourth quarter like there was. And same story like the other night. Just nobody left. That's the only other game I can think of where it just emptied out like that. Now, the weather was lousy at that point, but still. Dick in Milton, he would never leave early.
No. Oh.
Dick, how are you?
Probably not. I'm good, Steve. Hey, I just wanted to commend you for having the coach and Joey Bagnia on from the soccer for the Wolfsburg High School.
Well, Sean set it up, so...
Well, huge assist with Jennifer Wakeman, too, so is it tag team effort.
That's my old high school, and, I was an alumni and a board member in the alumni. But I'm not speaking for all the alumni, but for myself, and I know for lots of us, you couldn't be more proud of a group of kids than that.
Absolutely. So,
a lot of schools, they'll play forever. I don't care what the sport is, and then, they don't even really ever get the state championship, let alone to win.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely right about that.
So I thought it was really nice that whoever, for whatever reason, I mean, you guys and I know the reason for that, you got them on there today. And I mean, they deserve all the credit.
Yeah, they deserve all the credit. And obviously, what they've accomplished is very, very special. They'll never forget it. The town will never forget it.
Nope, they've done a lot. As I say, back-to-back state championships, I don't care what sport you're playing, but it's just not that common. I don't care what the sport is.
So
thanks a lot for getting them on there like that today.
Well, you're very welcome.
See ya. Thanks.
Thanks, Dick.
Thank you, Dick.
Okay, so while I'm back in Connecticut, obviously, I pick up the Hartford Courant. And it's the Friday edition. And they have a preview of the games for the weekend, the Friday night game. And one of the games, because I have followed not one second what my high school has done, like zero. One of the games was third-ranked Bloomfield against Enfield. I'm like, oh, okay. Bloomfield, I don't think, has lost a game. And they get to a recap of Enfield's season, my alma mater, my high school. They went to the game 1-8. They led the state in giving up the most points on the year, 429. They lost the game. Then I pick up Saturday's paper. See, well, they do. They lost 51-19 or some number. That means they gave up 480 points in 10 games. Needless to say, there's no pride here. I mean, the 40th class reunion for my group is Friday. I'm predicting I'm a no-show.
You're booked.
I've got something this weekend.
I was waiting for a turn the tide big upset like Yale beating Harvard over the weekend.
No. They gave up 480 points in 10 games. I mean, to their credit, they're awful. But it's high school. Final half hour coming up at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. My brother does return on Friday this week for the predictions segment. What are the early returns? Did I gain any ground?
Well, let's see. You and Kevin were both 6-2. So, yeah, you gained. Yeah. Well, you gained ground on me. I was 5-3.
That doesn't matter.
So he is sitting pretty at 60-33. I'm 55-38. You are 53-40. So
yes, that segment stinks. I can't stand that segment.
And I do have the games picked out, and I'll make sure I email you and Kevo.
What are the games?
Okay.
Let me put it to you this way. Do you know how much research I've done in these games?
Quite a bit.
None.
I know.
I never do any. Like, most of the time, you email to me, I glance at it and go, okay, great. I got a few things going on.
You do. Well, that's right. Well, that's why I try to get them to you as early as I can, because I know Wednesday's your busy day, but this week's a unique situation with... It's great to have Turkey Day on Thursday, but yeah. now we're all jammed up today, tomorrow, and Wednesday.
I mean, can we pick some games that are already played? Trying to increase my odds here. Like the Steeler-Colts game on Thursday. Can we have that on Friday?
There
pick?
You go.
Just wondering. So what are our games this week?
Let's see. Well, obviously the college football games, the no-brainers, Michigan, Ohio State. Yeah. Iron Bowl, Auburn, Alabama, Utah, Colorado, and Florida, Florida State. Those are your college picks. Pros, I have chosen Arizona, Atlanta, Cincinnati, Baltimore, Carolina at Oakland, and then the Sunday night game next week, battle in the AFC West between Kansas City and the Broncos.
Yeah, they flexed that game. They knocked the Patriots Jets out in favor of that. The Jets are so bad, they caused Tom Brady to get out of primetime. I mean, how bad do you have to be to cause that to happen? You have to be bad. Ay, ay, ay. That's awful. Wow, a lot of things going on, huh? 7.3 earthquake rocking Japan. They have a tsunami warning out there.
Whoa.
Yeah, where's Wakeman when you need her? And the epicenter, by the way, is said to be near Fukushima, which is, of course, where that nuclear power plant problems years ago. Wow, that's bad. Well, you know what? You always want, you love playing at home, and you love playing in front of your home fans. The fans... of course, sit there and They want to see big games. They want to see games with stakes. They want to see something important. That's why you sell out for Ohio State. That's why you're on the, right on the doorstep of a sellout with Iowa. They had 106,000 plus for that game. Right? So you're selling out for those games. Well, now you've got this one. We will all know by kickoff what is at stake, because Ohio State, Michigan will be over. Michigan State has gained 200-plus yards rushing in four of their last five games. And L.J. Scott's coming off a very good performance against Ohio State last week. He had 160 yards. We have Chris Soleri on the show from the Detroit Free Press this week to talk about Michigan State. They do a lot of deception on offense, jumping tight ends, a lot of motion. They'll try and get the ball in that motion extra times into the hands of R.J. Shelton. Defensively, they're playing, they are really young up front. The young guys are playing better, but they're really young up front on defense. And they have given up rushing yards this year. They did a good job the other day with Ohio State in bad conditions, but they've given up yardage on the ground. And the other part that's really hurt them this year is they normally pride themselves on great special teams play. Their special teams play has been no better than okay this year. So that's where they are. That's who they are. Still plenty of talent on that team. Scott's really good. Sheldon's really good. I think Corley, the wideout's going to be really good. I think Price, the tight end, is really good. Malik McDowell has missed the last two games with what's supposed to be an ankle injury. We have no idea if he's playing this week or not. Reschke's already out for the year. The linebacker, that hasn't helped. Copeland, the corner's out for the year. That hasn't helped. But they still have Demetrius Cox, who's very good. I think Hicks is really good. Bulla in the middle, really good. So they have, it's a real interesting mix on that team. They played really tough against Michigan. Michigan just has more talent. They played really tough against Ohio State. They did not play well at all against Illinois. There are some people saying that O'Connor, the quarterback, should be benched since he's a senior, and they should go with Damian Terry, the younger quarterback, just to see what he has. He's more of a runner than a thrower. And, in fact, they do put him in the game and use him at quarterback now in specialized packages, much like Indiana with Xander Diamant did 2 weeks ago. Essentially, get out there, you're in a wildcat formation, except you're out there in a wildcat with a quarterback taking the snaps. So that's the difference. By the way, your guy Jurgen Klinsmann fired today, huh?
Oh, did it happen? Wow.
Oh, yeah, they pulled the plug.
Yeah,
he's done.
Done. He was on Facebook.
Out of here.
He was on Facebook Live yesterday doing a chat, and I'm thinking, why? Ugh. Well, the Team USA is not playing until March, so that's next time they have their World Cup qualifiers.
Jurgen Klinsmann, gone.
Yeah,
Charlie Strong might be gone at Texas.
Could that pave the way for Tom Herman to leave Houston?
Well, I'm wondering if that plays a role in this, because the reports are that Strong's out, except they haven't told him that. The Austin Statesman is reporting that the younger players on the Texas team want to boycott the game with TCU if Strong is indeed fired. That the older players in the team are trying to calm them down. This is Charlie Strong's third year at Texas, his third. Now, I know they just lost to Kansas. I know that Kansas has not had an FBS win since 2014, to the point where their coach was crying after the game. It was a great win for Kansas. Bad loss for Texas. But does this, what does this do? I mean, it's only his third year. I've always been a firm believer, as I've stated many times on this show, unless it's pretty obvious to everybody you just flat out don't have it as a coach, that I think coaches need five and sometimes maybe in a sixth year to really show what the full program looks like in their image. But, I mean, they've given him 3 years. 3 years. So, now, in Texas, big money comes into play. And, Sean, you just mentioned the Tom Herman factor. Look, Herman was the hot guy in September. They beat Oklahoma. They beat them big. They were rolling. Got a couple of injuries. Then they stumbled in the middle of the year against Navy and SMU. Although Navy's a pretty good team. SMU's not bad. And so he kind of fell back under the radar for a moment. And then he bounced right back, and they get that big win over Louisville, and now he's back to the top of the list. So I don't know anything about what's going on down there. Nothing. But I'll at least ask the question. Do the people at Texas that make these decisions feel if they don't move on Tom Herman now, they may never get him? So that means they have to sacrifice Charlie Strong to do it. Do they feel so strongly about Tom Herman, who's coaching right there in their state, do they feel so strongly about him as the next, that they feel he is the guy that changes everything and makes Texas a power again? If they feel so strongly about that, is that why they're moving now? Texas, of course, had a great win early in the year over Notre Dame, but that comes up with what I've always referred to as the Notre Dame syndrome. What is the Notre Dame syndrome, you ask, Sean? Notre Dame syndrome is this. Anytime you defeat Notre Dame, you get much more credit than you deserve. You notice everybody who beats Notre Dame, oh, yeah, they beat Notre Dame. Wow, they beat Notre Dame. Oh, yeah. Now, so you realize at the end of the year, Notre Dame's not that great. You're like, oh, well, maybe it wasn't such a great win. Texas beat Notre Dame. In fact, yeah, Michigan State beat Notre Dame.
And just a short couple of months ago, I mean, what they do at the end of the Texas-Notre Dame game, they lifted Charlie Strong off his feet and carried him off the field. Man, what a complete 180 in just a few months.
Yeah, I know. Now he's sitting there, and it's really unfair to him. Just tell him. Okay, just tell them one way or the other. Just tell them. Why should a guy have to go out there? Their game with TCU's on Friday, by the way. I mean, why should he just go out there and just not know? I just don't think that's fair to him as a professional or as a head football coach. And it's not fair to the players either. And that is, and believe me, the players are not thought enough of in these situations. If you have younger players saying that they want to boycott, look, I don't want the inmates running the asylum, obviously. But if you have younger players saying that they're going to boycott, does that make you at least sit back and give you pause and say, you know what? Wait a minute. If they're that close and that tight, maybe there's something here that we should take a long look at that they're building. Then again, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. I'm not there enough to know what's going on. I've only seen Texas. I saw Texas play Notre Dame, and I saw Texas play a little bit against Kansas State and a little bit against Texas Tech. That's it. But don't just let him dangle in the wind. I mean, that's really unfair to him. Just make the decision one way or the other and tell him. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Clear your mind and consider your surroundings. Notice the sights and sounds, the scents and textures, every sensation. Are you where you want to be? You can redirect your path at any time. After all, life isn't scripted. It's not about winning the race. It's a journey towards your personal best. And that is the ultimate destination. And the all-new 2017 Lincoln Continental is the vehicle to take you there. You deserve this. Nestle into the serene cabin and surround yourself with the reassuring strength of its forms. From its intuitive ease of the 30-way front seat controls to the exceptional collection of amenities, Continental invites everyone to experience the journey in an elegant new way. Sunbury Motors Lincoln will be there for you and your Lincoln whenever, wherever you need it. Stop in today and experience this impressive vehicle for yourself at Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. Purchase any new Lincoln in the month of November and receive one complete detail each year for the next 4 years. Sunbury Motors Lincoln, making American luxury affordable. Check out our inventory at sunburylincoln.com.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the insurance needs of this valley for decades. I don't care if it's personal, business, commercial, all branches of insurance. And they find you the right insurance, the best insurance, and they do so at the right price. And if there's a claim, they jump right in there and they take all the worry off your plate. You want to have a great insurance agent, you want to have a great relationship with your insurance agent, Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy family, by the way, wishes everyone a safe, healthy, and happy Thanksgiving. All right. It is Thanksgiving week. There are three NFL games on Thursday night, or on Thursday. We got Detroit, Minnesota, Washington, Dallas, and the Steelers-Colts. Three really good games. It's not bad. Now, they all have short weeks, so all the games will end up being played at a level that's not going to be great. Then Friday, you've got Nebraska and Iowa, TCU and Texas. Saturday is Michigan and Ohio State, and then Penn State and Michigan State. And you were asking, what did Michigan State do? Michigan State, what did they do? First of all, the weather was lousy, so Ohio State couldn't throw the ball. And I'll be honest with you, Penn State's better at throwing the football than Ohio State is. Weber ran well. Barrett ran well in the game. But they had a long field to work with most of the day. And they also had a red zone turnover. That really helped Michigan State. And then Michigan State was able to get going. Michigan State had one really great drive. The other one was just two plays. It's a play where it went 67 yards. I think they gained 8 yards on first down, and then O'Connor went back and he faked like he was going to throw a backward pass to R.J. Shelton and spun around and just threw it to the other side to Scott. And Scott's not a great receiver, but I mean, it's kind of hard to drop the ball that it was flipped to him there, because, and then he took off down the side and went all the way for a touchdown. I mean, that's how they scored, you know. But they, I thought they did a decent job at the line of scrimmage. I thought they did a good job. And I think it really helped them against Ohio State was that Ohio State struggled throwing the ball, and so it made Ohio State one-dimensional all day, and that really helped Michigan State a lot. Michigan State's got talent. I mean, you know, they've got a lot of really good players. So we'll just see. I mean, we all have to see now how it plays out. It's not going to be an easy game, and it's a game that we're you're going to have to be physical in a game like this. By the way, James Franklin tomorrow night, 6 to 7, on the Penn State Coaches Show featuring James Franklin. We would do it on Thanksgiving night, but we decided this was better.
because we would have been the only two people in the restaurant.
No, maybe not true. Could be more there than you think.
What, on Thursday night?
Sure.
No, I don't think so. It's not a big turkey place.
That's right. I already had my Thanksgiving yesterday, so if you would have it Thursday, I'd be
in. Oh, you did?
We did, yeah.
Oh, you did? Really?
Yeah, portions of the in-laws' wife's brothers, they go in kind of different directions to their in-laws for Thanksgiving. So we had our Thanksgiving yesterday. Kind of a ploy, too, then by Thursday, maybe they're tired of turkey when they go to those dinners.
Right, sure. Yeah. I understand that.
So Thursday will probably turn into a Christmas decoration day at the Caricasa. So get that out.
This is a Christmas decoration night here. I'm going to do some tonight. I already put most of the lights up front. I did that on Friday because it was 65 degrees. I thought, man, that's a good time to do it.
Perfect time.
I did it before I got on the plane. But we'll do some indoor stuff tonight with people showing up because after tonight, actually, and believe it or not, except for going to practice and then other things that deal with it, I already have the Michigan State football game prepared in terms of charts and stats and things like that. And I've got almost the entire Penn State Colgate game prepared for Wednesday night, charts, stats, things like that. You know, other things I have to take care of. So I kind of cleared it out. There's no practice for anybody tonight, so that's good. And, yeah, there you go. That's why I'll do some decorating around here. Look, that I'm actually the one that does it here. Okay? Kathy will be the first one to tell you I am the one that decorates the house for the holidays. Takes a lot of pressure off of her that I do it. And I enjoy doing it. See, all of you would never have expected that out of me.
I'm in charge of putting the angel on top of the tree, but I'm 6'2", so...
We all have our responsibilities.
We do. The exact same thing you said to Derek Williams as he was fighting the conditions on the field Saturday night.
We all have our jobs.
We do.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, in your household, you're the Bumble.
Oh, that's true.
In Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the Bumble puts the star on top of the tree.
To steal a phrase from you, I know where my bread is buttered in the house.
The suit hires somebody to decorate his place. That's why it's always number one in the neighborhood. That's what the big money sales guys do.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.